Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Away we go.
Our Merseyside legends.
Through Aldridge outside the penalty area.
John Aldridge.
Gets the ball into his left foot. Brilliant.
And Graham Sharp.
Graham Sharp, whose season has suddenly turned into gold.
01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome along to the programme. I'm Steve Hoversall. 6:30 on a Monday evening, and it's tin hats all round. Not just one of them today. Oldham might have brought one back off holiday. In fact, he walked in with a sombrero a minute ago. And Sharpie might definitely need a tin hat for this show tonight. But 6:30, 01514720967. Wonderful to see you reunited again. John, you're looking pretty healthy after a bit of time in the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, went over there for Liverpool. It was one of the partners, is Barbados Tourism. So me and Rushy went out there And it was really tough, you know, getting about. And no, it was good, great. And we actually got to play golf in Apes Hill, which is a lovely course. I'm a big cricket fan, and Desmond Haynes, who had that great partnership with Gordon Greenwich years ago for the West Indies. Mm. He's a Liverpool fan, cracking bloke. And Sir Garfield Sobers, me and Rushy took him on. Unfortunately, lost a pair of bandits they were, to be quite fair.
Yeah.
You can't say to someone who's had the nice ones, you're a bandit. Yeah. He's 80 years of age as well. He was a good player for 80 years of age, actually.
I saw it on your Twitter feed, actually. Their pictures, they looked a lot younger than that, didn't they?
Yeah, they look well.
You sure look they really are 80?
Yeah.
If you go over there as well, they're proper
legends. I think
legends.
That's embarrassing, losing to an 80-year-old.
Thanks, Sharpie.
Even after getting 24 shots off him as well.
John was telling a great story off-air about how he had a little bet with... Was it Sir Garfield?
Yeah.
And he didn't honour his bet. He didn't give you the $10.
No, he 20, 20 and $20. Yeah, so they beat us by one on the front and one on the back, two, whatever it was, me and Rushy. So I said, there you go, this 50 and the 20. I said, you know, the 10 that you owe me, just sign it to John. I didn't see it.
That's why he's got that massive house in Barbados.
He's an absolute legend, God, over there. Quite rightly so. Lovely fella, two really nice blokes.
Oh, brilliant. Sharpie hasn't been to Barbados.
No, unfortunately, we just.
He's going November, though. Look,
battling down the hatches. He had the games at the weekend, obviously disappointing for both teams, but Everton was worrying, to say the least. 2-0 Arsenal, totally out. Played, outclassed, outthought, outfought even. And it was very, very unlike an Everton team, especially coming off the back of a decent performance against Chelsea. It was really walking away from there on Saturday. I was thinking to myself, wow, problems there. You know, problems there. So that's a big worry. Obviously, two big games. Obviously, every game's big. But, you know, you look at now the semi-final and the Derby game. Two massive games for the manager and for the team.
Mm. Ever seen so much of a roller coaster ride in one season? One weekend, it's everything's great against Chelsea. Wow. Next, everyone's you know at their throats again.
But when you look at the home form, I don't know.
What it's bad, isn't it?
It's horrendous.
Eight defeats. It's horrendous. At home.
And lost one away from home. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? It's football. It's incredible. And you think, you know, we've seen this happen before. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you know, if players find it hard to express themselves at home, they'd rather do it. It's madness. It really is, especially when you've got great backing, you know, great support. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. It's just like one of those. As a manager, I've been there, and Graham's been there, and you don't know what you do. Yeah. It's crazy.
But just the worrying thing on Saturday was there was nothing there.
I watched it.
They were just
struggled big
they
time.
They looked fitter. They look stronger.
Well, they played in the weekend. They looked so sharp. Welbeck and Cole, they looked so sharp in the first half, weren't they? Everton couldn't get near them, could they?
Couldn't get anywhere near them, and that's a worrying thing. You know, especially coming off the back of the Chelsea game, for whatever reason, it just didn't start. Lost goals. Could they have been avoided? Yeah, of course they could have. But nothing away from Arsenal, who were different class on the day, but Everton were really, really poor.
Roberto Martinez slightly put it down to not having Gareth Barry, an OAP in your side. No. That's unbelievable. He's had a great season.
Gareth is very influential and a fantastic player, but you can't blame it on one player. You know, it's the whole collective. You know, the boy Besic has come in.
He struggled, didn't he?
He's trying out for him. He struggled. But they gave the ball away. The boy Funes Mori gave the ball away time and time again. Going forward, you probably Lukaku never got a kick. You looked at Seamus Coleman's probably a brightest attacker. Jagielka did well again, but you know, just so many players off form and just couldn't get anyone near Arsenal. It was massive gulf in class. It was men against boys.
What a shame. Mm-hmm. What a real shame for Everton after that success against Chelsea and, of course, the semi-final on the horizon. You might want to say on that 01515 420 967 Liverpool. John, you know I'm a massive fan of some of your vocabulary. Mm. And I really enjoyed the tweet which you did when you were over in Barbados. Mm. So
is it repeatable?
Absolutely. This is great. So he said, get in. This was when Coutinho scored against United. He said, I can't commentate, so I'll twit and tate. I actually laughed out loud in front of my wife, who said, what are you laughing at? I said, oh, if I could write John's dictionary out.
I was all over the place. I was jumping all over the place. Me and Richie watching it in the bar, like over there. And obviously when it went in, there was game, set and match. They were never going to come back. A great piece of skill. And at the end of it, he didn't panic, you know. He slotted it in a fantastic way. The only little downside on the result, and I'm probably, you know, just nitpicking a little bit. I thought I'd seen us do it in style because they were there. The goalkeeper again was superb. De Gea, absolutely phenomenal again. But no, they do. You know, we had so many chances to make it 2-1 or 3-1. But hey, the job was done over two legs. It's just that me being me, you know. And they done it really, really much the better side over the two legs. And then we go to Southampton. You know, and I'm on a high, and the first half, we've just took it on from Old Trafford and done brilliant. They struggled, to be fair, Southampton. And
you've been watching us, haven't you?
He's obviously given a rocket and Koeman at half-time. He's made two substitutions, said, if you're not careful, you're going to get done 6-0 again here. They've already embarrassed you once. Don't let them embarrass you again. The substitutions worked. Our substitution was horrendous. And I can understand the manager, you know, because obviously Lovren, they were baying for Lovren. Every time he got the ball, they would burn him. He got away with the penalty, you know, and he got...
Was he on a knife edge? Klopp said afterwards the ref wasn't completely free of emotion in the stadium, almost implying that the ref had got caught up in the...
Absolutely, it happens, Steve.
Who was it? Atkinson? No.
He's the fellow with a big Roman nose. I don't know his name.
Roger East.
Is it?
Phil Thompson?
No. Oh, Tom will have you.
He's gone to Australia.
Roger East, it might be.
Hang on. I'm not sure his name.
He's only just started this year and he's not great.
I think I've got it.
It is Roger East.
Yeah, hold his description there. I've got it right away.
That's outrageous, Sean.
Referees do get caught. And it's only, you know, it's St Mary's. We've been there. It's not like... They're not on top of the fans.
It's not the worst place, is it?
The booing, like all the, you know, Klein and Lovren and Lallana, quite well, that's what happens. But I can understand the manager doing that. But for me, Paulo Torre's not let us down this season.
Yeah, where was he?
He was on the bench, wasn't he?
I don't even think he was on the bench, was he?
Well, to be fair, I didn't see the
bench.
Was he on the bench?
The subs were Skirtle, Benteke, Ojo, Torre, Henderson, Smith and Ward.
So I thought he should have, because he's not let us down, Torre. He's been fabulous as a squad player all season. He's been absolutely brilliant in the dressing room.
But you think older there as well is the fact he said he's played more than what Skipper's done at the moment. And you're thinking, well, okay, if you're going to make a change,
absolutely,
put somebody on who's played regularly at the moment. He knows what it's all. He's played with Sacco, done well. Put him straight in there. You know, I thought it was a strange one as well.
It was, because the last game Skirtle played. Now, I'm not sure. I've not been sure about Skirtle. I think I won't go on, but you know, he's let us down on quite. He's not the only one.
Well,
anyway,
John is one. He played he played last week in the under-21 Premier League Cup and got sent off. But he played 120 minutes on his return from a hamstring injury. Yeah. And we were talking about this, Sharpie. Yeah. It seemed a bit odd that a player on his return would play that much and then be.
Well,
do you think the only way was because it was Pella? And size of size and strength.
Well, against Watford, his last game when he got injured, he was out-battled by the lad up front. He caused him no end of problem through the game. And I know you want a little bit of protection by people in front of you. Like, we missed perhaps Lucas coming on doing a job in there, second half anyway. But he was horrendous. And you know, I don't like, you know, nitpicking on play. You know, give away the penalty. He was involved in their three goals, and he was just all over the place. Yeah. And Carlo Torre went, it might have been a different story, but I don't know. But what I think the manager, from what happened yesterday, because there's a lot of work to be done in the summer, he'll have seen a lot of things which he won't have liked and might influence his decisions come May, June, July. Mm.
Okay, battle gear at the ready. Get the headphones on. Let's take our first caller. It's Kev, who's in Melling. Liverpool fan. Hiya, Kev.
Hi, Kev. Can I speak to you? Hi, Kev. What it was, I was going to talk about the game yesterday for Southampton Liverpool, but unfortunately, after travelling all the way down there, I didn't get to see the game. Mm. Now, basically, what it was, I went down with my son-in-law. We entered the ground about 12:45, and then around about 1:20, we made our way into the Genesis. Now, unfortunately, my son-in-law had an empty glass in his hand and was quickly drag marched right out the stadium along with myself, and then treated like, you know, a massive criminal act. We got taken to the custody suite, where we were then told that we would not be allowed back in into the ground. You know, I just wonder what they did on the stewards in it, like at Everton or Liverpool. Is it the same?
Kev, what do you hold on? What do you mean by an empty glass? You mean an actual glass or a plastic container?
Plastic container game.
What?
It was, I wouldn't be lying if there was dregs in the bottom. He didn't even know he had it in his hand.
And what was the reason? Yeah. What was the logic behind him saying, "Well, you know, you're getting thrown out"? What did he say?
Well, what we couldn't understand was, we walked past the steward at the top. He didn't say that. He didn't confront us. He then got into the. We were actually walked to the wrong seats at first, and then realised we'd come out. And as we come out, this steward came over and said, "You're on camera. You've been seen with this glass, and you're out the ground." And basically, I tried to, plead with him to say, "Look, we just made a virtual 500-mile round trip, and would he have it?" No, he was, it was unbelievable. I tried to think.
I was going to say, Kev, that sounds a bit well over the top kind of thing. What I would say is, yeah, get in touch with somebody at Liverpool.
Absolutely.
To represent you.
And do you have got evidence?
Yeah.
Let them make sure you see the so-called evidence on the camera. Because that sounds, that's bang out of order by what you're saying there. That's shocking, really.
We had to go, we went to watch it at the pub, and it wasn't even on, unfortunately. We had to watch the Newcastle game, which I suppose wasn't bad in the end, but we walked back to ground, because we had some mates to meet. And when we got back, we left the ground at 2-0, the pub at 2-0. Mm. When we got back to ground, we heard the cheer, or 2-1, and we didn't even know we were getting beat 3-2.
Kev, that sounds like you had a bad weekend all around.
That's not right. Sometimes when you go away to away ground, some stewards are more heavy-handed than the others. Mm. I haven't heard that at Southampton, but that doesn't sound right.
Kev, thanks for telling us your story. Best of luck next time you get to go and watch Liverpool. Let's talk with Darren, who's a Blue in Kirby. Evening to you, Darren.
Hello.
Hello, Darren.
Oh, yeah, good evening.
You got the boys here waiting on you. Go on, what do you want to talk about?
Hello?
Darren.
This performance on Saturday.
Hang on, we missed all that. Just start again, Darren. Go on.
All right, sorry. Can I ever like to ask you what you thought about Mohamed Bezic's performance on Saturday?
Yeah, it was poor. I think a lot of people have been clamouring for him to be involved in the team. But I thought he just had one of those games where nothing went right for him, I thought. He got on the ball and he gave it away time and time again. And, you know, the manager made the substitution at half-time, brought on Stonesy, but... You know, the lad's been out for a long time, and he obviously wanted to impress, but he just had one of those games, Darren, on Saturday, but it didn't go right for him.
No, I'll just see him. What type of midfield did you see him as, Graham?
I think what he's done in his fleeting appearances, I think the punters have taken to him because he's all action. He gets his foot in. He wins a tackle. He's aggressive, but unfortunately, we didn't see anything of that on Saturday because I thought. Overall, the whole pitch would get overrun. You know, I thought they looked fitter and stronger, moved the ball quicker than us. And every time he got on the ball, he gave it away. So he wasn't the only one, but I didn't think that was one of Moses' best games at the weekend, but he's a midfielder who, you know, he's not just a defensive midfielder. I think he's got ability as well. He can see a pass, but certainly Saturday wasn't his day.
Who do you think would be better alongside, Barry or McCarthy?
Well, good.
He's different to both of them. I can't see where he fits in with either of them, to be honest.
Well, when you look at it, Dan, and look at the players for that position, you've got Barry, you've got McCarthy, you've got Besic, you've got Gibson in there as well, who doesn't seem to have a look in, which I'm surprised at. But listen, Gareth Barry's not getting any younger, so if you're looking at the longer term, you know, if you're the manager, you're probably looking at Besic, McCarthy being the fulcrum of your team. But Gareth is still putting in performances, but again, I still think there's more to come from Mo Besic. I think, you know, he had an off game on Saturday, and everybody has them. But I still think he's got a big part to play. I still think he's a young player. He's experienced. But I think he'll play that role. Now and I forgot to mention Cleverley in that group of players as well. So I think we're overloaded a little bit with those sort of players. I think we need, when you compare us a little bit to Arsenal, And the flair they had, certainly going forward, where they moved the ball quicker, they ran with the ball. I think we need more of those players rather than the central midfield players who can just hold all the time.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that worries me about those, Graeme, you mentioned it before about Arsenal looking fitter. We don't look fit at all, do we?
No, I just thought that we were off the pace on Saturday. I know Wenger pushed his players on to stop us playing out from the back, but every time they get the ball, they looked half a yard sharper than us. They ran at us, they passed the ball quicker, and we struggled. We were chasing shadows. Men against boys for me.
Darren, thank you very much indeed. Got to go to a break there, but thanks for your call. Superb stuff. 6:46. Do you want a quick clue on look who's scoring just before we get to the break?
Some paper then, Steve. Sharpie's got a book there.
Hey, let me tell you. Hang on. Brilliant. Hang on. I was in Friday.
How was it? How quick did Sharpie get it?
It was in.
Oh, absolutely.
Gary Gillespie was in. He was your opposition. Yeah, what happened?
It was brilliant. I can't remember who it was, mind you.
It was John Terry.
It was John Terry. On the first clue.
Right, hang on. We've only got 40 seconds here. Your clue for part one. Former Premier League winner. 73 caps for his country. 4 goals. 73 caps, 4 goals. Champions League winner. More than once. And he was born in 1987. Did you get all that? So this is our look who's scoring. If you've not heard this before, the guys have to compete to find the answer to this first. You can get involved at Radio City Talk. Former Premier League winner, 73 caps for his country, 4 goals, and a Champions League winner more than once. And he was born in 1987. You can give us a bell as one if you've got the answer to that one. 0151 4720967. This is the Radio City Legends. You can get involved in the show between now and 7:30. Give us a bell if you want. Aldwyn Sharpie in the studio.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Okay, we're giving you a couple of look who's scoring clues. The boys are deep in thought. Former Premier League winner with 73 caps for his country and 4 goals, and a Champions League winner more than once. He was born in 1987. Sharpie blew us away with his John Terry guess on Friday, but have you got the answer to this one? I'll tell you what, Colin Grogan said Xabi Alonso.
Xabi's older than 29, isn't he?
Absolutely. Good guess. Done your maths on his age. But it's not Xabi. Other names you might want to bring to the fore? Anyone else you think of? Do you want the second clue? Should we just play you a little clip? This is a clip of the man himself, right? Xabi scrambled for his headphones. Here we go.
When I'm not playing good, I accept it. And this season, every time I played really well.
Yeah? This season? And that is this season. What do you think? Does that give you any clues? Do you know where he's from?
France. He sounded a bit French.
Yeah.
French?
Yeah.
French. Or...
When I'm not playing good, I accept it. And this season, every time
Italian?
I played really well.
South American? Okay, another clue. Winner of a European Championship and a World Cup. European Championship and a World Cup. It must be taking you closer, ever closer. You threw out silver before. Oh, have you got an idea?
No.
Anyone else?
World Cup?
No.
I think we're taking that on our social media. Let me ask Dave, our producer.
I think it's Spanish.
Spanish. That's what, yeah. Spain's yeah. won the two of them. It's got to be a Spain player, isn't it? You're working together here.
No,
yeah, well, it's a tough one, isn't it?
You won't be once you get the answer. Okay, should we just leave it there for a minute?
No. Let me have a little guess.
Go on.
He's married to Shakira.
Gerard Piqué.
Oh. Yeah.
He's married to Shakira. That's
got it.
Now, there's a real dispute here.
Yeah.
I think I got that. I just flew out. No, it was him.
Dave, the producer,
PK,
is a blue through and through. Yeah. She's back in Sharpie here for the win. But I'm not sure he'd have got that, would he, unless John had given him the Shakira clue.
He'd give me another clue, isn't it?
No, I don't have to do the week exactly the same, Sharpie.
So your other clues were, began his career at Barca, and his wife is a world-famous pop star.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Is that half a point each?
That was me. It
had to be a Spanish player, didn't it? Man United, he won the league, didn't he?
Producer Dave, this is the standard we want. You've set a good standard all of a sudden. Come on, we want footballers with pop star wives.
We've got to make a decision now.
What are we on? What are we on, Dave, in terms of... it's got to be half a point each.
No, come on. Hey, come on.
Eight and a half, six and a half.
Get that blue nose off your face. Come on, come on, Dave.
I'll get balls of that. He was closer than me.
He's giving it older.
Top man.
Right, brilliant. We had a steward ring up before after...
Yeah.
We're just going to speak to him in a minute. We had a steward, who rang up talking about the chap who was on previously, talking about taking a glass in. So he's just going to come on in a minute and explain exactly what it is.
Listen, see if it's what we're led to believe in the story we were told here from the caller. Surely, if that is the case, what has happened to common sense?
That's it, yeah.
For the steward just to say, listen, excuse me, you're not allowed in here with that. Give me that. Take that off. What now?
Do you not think away fans get treated differently?
They do, but listen, let me say it, and I'm not implying this, but sometimes you get different stories. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if the boy that came on here before and told us a story, and that story is true, where is the common sense from the steward to say, listen, you're not allowed in here with a glass, if you just want to give me that just put it in the bin?
Yeah, that's it.
End of matter. Seemed fairly honest, didn't he? Let's talk with Gary, who's in Queens Ferry. He's a red. Hi, Gary.
Hi, you okay, everyone?
Hi, Gary. All right,
so you've been a steward, Gary, yeah?
I was a steward in the cup for 10 seasons.
Mm. So what's the rules? Did you hear what the caller said before?
Yeah, and I, for the first 5 seasons, I was on the turnstiles outside in the cup. And if someone come to the turnstile with, like, plastic bottles, we have to take the lid off everyone.
Yeah.
And then they could go in. Mm-hmm. But some people would turn up with 4 bottles, but it was unfair sometimes because we have to take the lid off everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what about if you turn up with a plastic pint glass? Is that what the caller said
empty.
Before?
Yeah.
An empty plastic pint glass.
We wouldn't have let him in with it, really. But if we were inside with it, we wouldn't have done that. We'd have just chucked it off him.
Yeah.
And I think the way he was treated was terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't.
It sounds that way, doesn't it? Yeah. No, come on. If someone's travelled, it doesn't matter if you just travelled, you know, 30 minutes. But come on. Hey, that's quite shocking if it's, you know, if we're led to believe what the story is.
Well, like. he would have worked hard for that.
It's a week's wages, you know. Hey.
Yeah.
And ended up having to watch the North East Derby at the other end of the country.
No, but listen, we can laugh and joke, but no, that's wrong. That is totally wrong. If this is, as I said before, you know, different sides of stories, but if this is true, the boy should be getting reimbursed. Mm. The lad should get reimbursed from Southampton for all the travel that he's had to do to get down here.
I hope the lads actually took it. You know, they have numbers, don't they, or whatever they have. You know, the stewards. You know, obviously to get the right fella. You know, obviously I don't know what happens there, but you know, I think that's really appalling. By the way,
see, I had a steward's number as well. Everyone has. Well, can't he go through Liverpool?
Well, he'd have thought so, yeah.
That's the best thing. Best bets to go to Liverpool, to the away travel and everything else, see what the situation, and let Liverpool deal with Southampton, the security side of things, and hopefully get an answer for him. Because it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right, and hopefully something needs to be investigated.
There's no need for it, Gary.
When I was at Liverpool, the stadium manager was Jed Poynton, but I don't know if it's changed since.
No, Jed's just sat back now. He's overlooking certain parts of it now,
I think what they'll do, they'll go through the wee travel and see that, and they will liaise with Southampton and see if we can get to the bottom of it. But, you know, without being judge and jury here, but what we're led to believe is, you know, the lad seems as if he's been harshly treated.
Hey, it could be a proper job's worth. And we've seen them before, haven't we? You know,
oh, yeah.
Big time.
We've seen them, John, haven't we? When we've gone to stadiums and we've been treated appallingly by stewards.
On the odd occasion, yeah.
Yeah.
When is the steward of Liverpool? And we have to take the tops off the bottles. But why?
Yeah.
I thought to myself at first, why are they taking the tops off? Mm. Well, if you take the tops off, they won't go anywhere. If they throw them, they won't reach.
Yeah.
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 Gary, just give us a quick thought on what you thought about yesterday and the Southampton game as a whole.
I was watching it in the house, and I watch on like through the internet on the like I've got like a box.
Is that one of those dodgy boxes?
Hey, is he allowed
one of these? No, he said digibox.
Oh, digibox. Oh, sorry.
I lost my signal. I lost my signal on the broadband when it was 2-1, and I come back on it was 3-2. I don't even know. I still don't know what probably happened. Really,
you don't want to know.
I heard people saying about Skirtle, but
your
picture froze on your digibox.
Yeah, and I turned back on, it was 3-2, so it was traumatised.
Did you a favour, didn't it, really?
You best get them things. You always know, what do you call them things you plug into the telly? What do you call them?
Fire sticks,
yeah. They, I know loads of lads who've got them.
What's all the game? You'd be getting in jail here.
Gary, great to hear from you. Thank you very much indeed, pal.
Thank you.
John, I'd be really interested to know what you think about this piece that, funnily enough, Sharpie alerted me to it in the Sunday Times yesterday. Jurgen Klopp will consider jettisoning his captain Jordan Henderson in the summer as he rebuilds. Now, Jonathan Northcroft, who's very respected, has written this, knows his stuff, does Jonathan. Klopp's surprise position comes amid reported interest in his midfielder from Tottenham.
Mm. Yeah, but you've heard a few flutterings the last few weeks regarding Tottenham and Jordan Henderson. And, Jordan's, you know, I think Jordan's been playing this year on an injury. You know, he's one of those lads that won't shirk responsibility. And what you see is what you get. He runs his socks off for the club every single game. You know, he's captain. You know, he tries to lead by example. The only thing I thought yesterday was strange, and it was a big decision from managers to give young Flano the captaincy. Mm. Now, I don't know that's, I'm looking near, you know, 2020, make 40 or 50 with Endo or all that, but that was quite odd when you had Lovren at the back and you had Sacco, which has been a captain before to me. That was a big statement. It's a really big statement from the manager. And obviously that is a future statement in some way along the line. It has to be. But with Jordan Henderson, we'll just have to wait and see. Yeah. I don't know.
What's your thoughts, Sharpie, on that one?
It's strange how it's come out now, you know, and him having, you know, usually they bat that away, don't they? And just say, okay, we'll deal with that if it comes about kind of thing. It's strange for him to come out.
But he didn't bat it away when he was
asked
about it.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's strange how, you know, he hasn't batted it away, and as if to say, well, listen, in the summer I've got big decisions to make, who's coming in, who's going out. But the fact that he's mentioned it, it's a strange one. Mm. You know, I don't know.
Well, how's Jordan feeling?
You don't know. You don't know. They might have had conversations. We don't know. We're just looking from the outside. You don't know. Jordan Henderson, for me, looking at it, would you want to stay at Liverpool? I would probably say, yeah, he's a captain of Liverpool at this moment in time. Yeah. I'm not sure. I can't see him at Tottenham. I might be wrong, but I can't see him at Tottenham.
Strange one, isn't
it? Yeah, and I'm just thinking, where's this coming? Is the manager leaking this or whatever? I think it's a strange one how it's come out that way. I know he said that, listen, if MD doesn't want to stay at Liverpool, they can go.
Yeah.
He said that. But it's strange how they've mentioned Jordan Henderson.
See with Klopp, just say, Steve, he's that honest.
Too honest.
Yeah. Mm. You know, whereas the managers will just go, oh, no, and they'll lie. Through the teeth, and then you find to get found out down the way. He just says it the way he is, and you know he's left it open there a little bit.
We'll continue that in just a moment. Going to take a short break here. We'll take more of your calls. 0151 472 0967. It's the Radio City Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale, and Stockport.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's get on it. 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Loads of you want to get on the show, so let's start rattling through it. Let's get on with it.
A bit early. I thought it said get on Neil.
I know John's a little bit, what's the word, jet lagged. I know he's jet lagged because he came in before. Early. He stood in the office. He had his own phone in one hand and he picked up another phone. And I said, John, you picked up my phone? He said, no, that's my phone. He was adamant. He said, that's my phone. And then he looked at his other hand and he went, oh, no, I've got my phone in my other hand.
That's been happening a lot, actually.
Let's talk with Mike, who's an Everton fan in Prescott. Hiya, Mike.
All right, chaps, you okay?
Hiya, Mike.
All right, Graham, you all right?
Yeah.
Graham, I walked away from there on Saturday in utter bewilderment, I think. Mm-hmm. I used to like listening to Martinez, obviously, his comments after the game, but lately just...
Yeah.
On Saturday, it was a one-off. Well, what about the other seven one-offs this season? But what got me the most, Graham, is against West Ham with 2-0 up, and he brings a centre-forward on.
Mm-hmm.
2-0 down against Arsenal, and he brings a defender on.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's lost it. I think he's lost the fans, he's lost the players, and his decisions and his comments just make them look stupid at the moment. Yeah.
Mate, the worrying thing for me, and I was the same as you, I came away from there, and as soon as the final whistle went, I was walking up the stairs and I thought, wow, we've got problems here. We have got problems. Now, some of the other games that we played, the West Ham game and everything else, you know, you think, okay, we lost the game, which was disappointing. But I just thought the performance on Saturday worried me immensely. You know, I walked away and I thought, wow, we were... And listen, Aldo said before about Arsenal coming off the back of a trip to Barcelona, but they looked miles ahead of us. And they're getting slaughtered, and the manager's getting slaughtered and everything else. And we seemed to be second best all over the park. Now, that for me is a worry, considering that, you know, this was a team that, you know, were singing the plaudits, you know, and the young players and everything else. I thought we were totally outclassed against an Arsenal side and set. And that worried me, because that's the first time I've seen that happening this season. Okay, the game, the performances might not have been great at home, but we certainly weren't outclassed. But I just thought we were miles behind Arsenal. And for me, that's a worry. If we're trying to get up to that standard of being top four European football, we were miles away on Saturday.
What worries me even more, though, Glenn, you know how stubborn he is. I don't see how we can change it. Yeah, he's pinning his hopes on Gareth Barry, who's our 34, 35, and I just think, wow, as you say, I think we've got big problems going forward. And
The difference in the side. I watched, and I was sitting next to somebody, and I just said, watch Arsenal now. When they went forward quickly, and they went forward with like six or seven players attacking, you know, at the edge of the box, and I'm thinking, wow. Then I looked at us, and I thought, when we attack, it's so slow, and it's not moved forward quickly enough, and they can get back and defend. And the difference in the two sides and from an attacking point of view was unbelievable. They move with the intelligence, quickness, you know, got the ball forward quickly in terms of incisive passing. I felt sorry for Lukaku, and he never had a great game, but we need to get players in and around the box, having shots at goals, making runs. We're not. We must be quite easy to play against, you know, when everything's in front of us. Arsenal's goals, people are running in behind you, you know, and for defenders it's a nightmare. But for us, for a defender, I think it'd be easy, because everything you can see from Everton is in front of you. There's nobody running in behind. There's no midfield players running in behind Lukaku. And I just thought on Saturday, I just thought, wow. You know, if we're trying to judge ourselves, we're trying to get up there. On that performance, we were miles away. Away.
You may see different to me, Graham. What is Cleverley off down the left? Because he's always coming across the field and leaving Baines exposed. And you know Baines likes to bomb on, but he won't bomb on when he's left exposed. I just don't see what Cleverley offers. Don't get me wrong, he's had a couple of good games in the past. I just don't see the transition he offers when he's playing down the left.
Well, I think probably if you ask Tom Cleverley, that probably wouldn't be his favourite position, you know, down the left-hand side. Now, listen, over the years we've had Pina, and Pina is out the picture at this moment in time, but I agree with you. I think that, you know, you play players, and I know Morales has had his problems and everything else. You know, even De La Feo, whatever kind of thing, and who I'm not think he should start necessarily, but I'd prefer to put players in positions where they're comfortable. And I'm not sure Tom... is completely cut. He will do a job for you there, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's a position that he loves to play. I think he's more suited to be in the central part of midfield. So it's a difficult one. So I think, you know, we look at positions in the summer where we have to strengthen. I think obviously the goalkeeping position, but I think we need to have more incisive, quick, forward-looking midfield players.
Thanks for your points, Mike. Brilliant stuff.
Cheers.
Just going to move on. We're going to speak with Neil, who's a red in the City Centre. Just noticed this, John. Liverpool have dropped more points from leading positions in the Premier League this season than anyone else.
Than Everton?
Apparently.
Have they?
That's from when Brendan Rodgers was in charge.
Is that right? Yeah. I would know. I'm not. I actually read that.
Is that a joke, Neil? Was that right or not? That is the right stat, isn't it?
No, it is a
correct stat.
But we've lost loads this season from being in pole positions. Yeah, yeah.
So dropped 15 points from leading positions in the Premier League this season.
Yeah,
I mean that's unacceptable, isn't it?
Well, it's the first time Liverpool's lost from being 2-0 up at half time for since I think it's the 50s or something. I've seen some stat, but.
Everton's stat is Everton have shipped 28 home goals this season, more than any previous 38 game campaign.
Yeah, but what?
Reading a couple of stats.
So what did you say about Liverpool? They've lost what?
From being in pole position, taking the lead, we've lost more points than any other
and
team.
And how many have they lost?
15
points. 15. Yeah.
Mm. Neil, what do you want to talk about?
Before I forget, can you have a guess at the what you were giving the clues about
before
the player? I think it was his age. Is it Gerard Piqué?
Are you taking the mickey? I said that about half an hour ago. Come on, Neil.
I'm sorry.
So the only thing I got his girlfriend's name before I got his name, yeah. Shakira.
Okay, moving on then.
Neil, do you want to win a Paul Walsh book?
Oh, no, you're all right.
go on, what are we talking about?
I was just going to put some perspective on yesterday, really. I mean, a lot of fans have had a go at Klopp. But if you said to any single Liverpool fan, if you can send the team out with 11 full internationals at half-time, 2-0 up, do you think we're going to win? I guarantee you they'd all say yeah. I mean, with Skirtle especially, and I want to say this to John, and not just on his performance on Sunday, over the past 18 months,
yeah, agree.
He's always been at the scene of the crime, but
agree.
Never to blame. And at the end of... There's only so many times that can happen. And we've looked.
He struggled big time, Neil. He struggled big time. And the times, the one thing, you know, and I don't want to batter him or whatever. He probably can't sleep last night. Hopefully he couldn't sleep and today he's struggled a bit. But, you know, all this holding and grappling and whatever he does in the box, it's finally caught up with him yesterday, the penalty.
Yeah.
That final, because someone was ready to nail him on that and he got nailed. Thankfully the goalkeeper made the save, but, you know, and redeemed him, you know, and it just got from bad to worse for the lad, you know. But you're right, I think he struggled for some time.
Yeah, and we've looked a lot better without him. For years, we've always said, what's wrong with our centre-halves? What's wrong with our centre-halves? And he could have been the problem. The other topic I wanted to mention was Danny Murphy slated Benteke today in the papers. Mm-hmm. Slated Klopp for the dressing down to give Benteke. But
okay.
I think it's part and parcel of the game. If he wants to do it that way, then do it. He knows the player's mentality. If he's fragile, he's not going to do something.
The only thing, isn't it? I think some managers prefer maybe to do it in the dressing room afterwards in front of people or pull them into the office on a Monday morning and have a quiet word. But Klopp's got different ways, different methods, and he probably wants the fans and everyone to see if he's not happy with a player or whatever he does in front of anyone. And that may be his German way of what he'd done in Dortmund, and it seems to work there. I don't know.
I think it's more an instinctive reaction. I think it's more a natural, passionate reaction. I don't think there's any other thought behind it. And I think with some players, I mean, some managers might clap and clap, oh, next time you'll get it in. But you know yourself as a forward, John, sometimes enough is enough and you're just going to say, put it in.
Yeah, but you can't. There's no good coming out criticising your players in public. If you've got anything to say to your player, you've got to come out and just say, listen, okay, from the front, the strikers aren't performing, whatever. But you've got to have a mention with the boy and pull him to one side and say, listen, he's not good enough and tell him. The last thing the lad wants, if he is fragile, you know, confidence-wise, is to read it in the paper or whatever, getting absolutely cane from his manager. So I think he has to deal with that a little bit better.
I don't think he actually was having a go at him missing the chance. I think he was having a go at his work rate.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if it was because we all miss chances. It was only Natalie
Wyatt.
Should have scored. Oh, don't worry about that.
But don't you think of that? But listen, see, if he's got questions about his work rate, he shouldn't be on the squad.
Well, you know, you tell him time and time again, and we know that. It's not sinking in, is it?
No, but I would say to him, listen, I tell you what, you're here at Liverpool now, sorry. We want you to play in the team, but if you don't get your finger out, you ain't going to be playing.
That's right. Lads, next time you watch him, he uses two forwards. He runs around without any purpose. He runs, so it's like, oh, look, he's running. But the difference is he's not direct and running at players. Like, even Origi is. You know what I mean? He's running it down, but he's not got any pace.
Well, I'll just say one thing, you know, before we move on. It's strange because when Liverpool have made substitution with Benteke coming off or Sturridge of late, the fans don't sing their names. Origi comes on and all of a sudden he closes, he runs, and all of a sudden they're singing his name because that's what they want to see. Yeah. And that's one the easiest thing in the world to do, is to run. It's have the ability to put in the back of the net that, you know, people want.
Neil, thank you very much for your thoughts this evening. This is the Radio City Legends in what's been a tough night with the boys wearing their helmets. We've had a nice call. A couple of girls have rung up, Angela and her friend. And they said they didn't know who Sharpie was, but apparently they think he's got the sexiest voice on the radio. Now, Dave took this call. Dave, the producer.
They've asked.
It's not a joke. They've asked if you're married, Sharpie. Ooh. Angela and her friend. They're not interested in football, but they're interested in Sharpie.
Be careful there, mate. Yeah. Your missus isn't listening.
Let's go to our next call. It's Phil, who's a blue in Kirby. Hiya, Phil.
Hi, boys.
Hi, Phil.
Sharpie, I was the one that called before the Chelsea game and was saying about if we can beat Chelsea, I think we can win the cup.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't want our manager, and you said you thought I was a little bit hasty. But I want to sort of change that question now to you and Aldo. If you two were the owners who put that money into Everton Football Club, realistically, would you have him as your manager? Just going in there with your money? Well, I know it's probably a hard question for you because you work there, but realistically, would you have them as your manager with all that money you're pumping in?
I'll answer it perfectly. I think, you know, Martin, it's not for me and not Evertonian, but you know, he's a lovely fella. Things aren't looking great. If I was him, I'll tell you what I would do. I would go for next Evertonian, who's doing one of the best jobs I've seen in the Premiership, and I'd go try and persuade Bilic to come with me to Everton, because I think what he's done there is absolutely magnificent. I've watched what he's done in Croatia. You know, he's got Everton at heart, obviously, and I would try to break the bank to get him away from London and bring him here personally.
The only thing with Bilic, and that I think he's done remarkably well, John, I think his acid test will be next year.
Yeah.
You know, once you don't know. I think it's very difficult when you're looking to change managers. You know, I've said this time and time again. Now, the manager's getting hammered, you know, for the results, and the home record is awful. Everybody knows that. You can't get away from that. But what you've got to remember as well, it's not easy. And I know we've got the best side and all this in the squad, but I go back to David Moyes, and David Moyes used to get battered, and he was yo-yo, one season good, one season bad, one season. But then when you look at near the end of David Moyes' tenure, when we were finishing fifth and sixth and whatever, he was still getting battered. Now, this fella's come in. First year was great. Second year wasn't so. This has been disappointing, to say the least. I still think, if I'm being honest with you, and I'm not trying to duck it out, I think it's far too early at this moment in time. Let's wait and see until the season finishes. Now, obviously, for me, we want to finish the season really, really strongly, but there's two massive games on the horizon. The semi-final in the derby, you know, and I think, I'm not saying that the owner will make a decision on the manager's future on those two games, but I think, you know, the fans' reaction, you know, will be big, you know, and I think my big thing as well is, if the manager can get through to the FA Cup final, it's a big if, we all know that, but if he can get through to the FA Cup final and maybe win that FA Cup final, then that could be the start of a platform. Everybody needs to win that first trophy. So I think, looking into this, and I understand fully, you know, the disappointment of the supporters and what we're seeing in the home record and everything else. But as John touched away, I think we've lost once away. So there is something wrong at home. But I would, at this moment in time, while I'm not happy with the way things are, I think we've got to be careful.
But, Sharpie, do you know, like yesterday, Liverpool, they were winning 2-0, they threw it away. If no one's a guarantee yet, that won't happen again, because he'll learn from that club. Our manager doesn't seem to learn, because it must have happened 5 or 6 times to us. We've been 2-0 or 2-1, and we've done the same thing. And it's frustrating, because you think, you're not learning from this.
Very frustrating. Yeah, I agree with you. You've got a point. You've got a good point there. You just like to think that the penny finally drops.
Phil, brilliant stuff. Let's squeeze one more caller in. It's Gary, who's in Skem. Evening to you, Gary.
Hello, me.
Oh. Hello, me. Hi, Gary.
It's for Sharpie.
Go on.
Graham, I just want to talk about John Stones and what you think's going on with his situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he had a couple of bad games. He got dropped. Do you think there's more to it? Do you think it's because he didn't get his big move? You know, I just don't see how he's gone from one of the best centre-halves in Europe to not even being able to get in the side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a strange one for me. If you ask me a question, would John Stones be on my side? I would say yes all day long. But again, has the transfer speculation got some? No, I haven't spoke to Stonesy, you know, around the club. He's fine. He's disappointed that he's not playing and he's not starting, which is quite right. But sometimes, as we all know, that young players, you know, have a dip in form. John was desperate to play. You know, he came on Saturday, played his three centre backs. I think personally, at this moment in time, I think the boy Morrie, who's done really, really well for us, I think in the last couple of games he's kind of just been off it a little bit. So I don't know whether the manager might, you know, change it for the next game and bring John in alongside Phil Jack Elka. But I just think that he's not one of those, let me tell you, he's not a guy that will spit his dummy out. You know, he wants to play. You know, he's desperate to play.
You just touched on what I was thinking, where you said he brings him on sparingly now as part of a three, or he'll push Coleman forward and put him right back. That's not for me the right way to deal with someone who's low on confidence.
No.
So, I spoke to him myself at Dunk's testimonial meal, and I know, obviously, he's not going to say too much to fans, but to me, he seemed made up. He said, look, you know, I'm happy the way I am. You know, I didn't get me moved, but looking at it, it's probably tight that I didn't get it. I just don't get it. You think Martinez is managing him right?
Gary, I think, as everybody, he wants to play and he needs to play, you know, and I think that, you know, maybe the next game around he might change it and he's back in. And listen, it's a big summer for John because John's got the Euro Championships as well, because he won't be happy sitting on the bench when he's got that at stake as well. So he needs to play. And whether he changes that the next game, we'll just have to wait and see. But I personally think, I don't think he spat his dummy out. He just he needs to be patient.
Gary, we'll continue that one on another show. Really good points. Boys, you've got Good Friday off. Good Friday, Easter Monday. We're not here. We're not here.
Aldo's probably be back to Barbados.
Portugal.
He's going to be looking for his $10 off Garfield Sobers.
Do you know what? That story will never drop for John, will it?
I've got that in my cap, haven't I?
Do you think so? Next time you see Garfield, are you going to have a rematch with him? And who was the other one?
No, I might go with Sharpie in November. Wait and see.
Take Sharpie, proper bandit. And Angela. Angela, your mystery admirer. Sharpie.
There was two of them.
Just get Angela on.
It's the Legends. We'll see you. Week on Friday.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport. Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.